2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you were ready to say, instead of "this is the word of the Lord," amen, "thanks be to God," amen? You might have been tempted to do that because what I read to you is called the apostolic benediction. It's a benediction that we use in this church regularly, and like all of our benedictions, it follows one of our ministers saying, "lift your eyes towards heaven that you may receive this blessing." Some of you think it's time for the benediction because we've already had a sermon. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, this is a little bit unusual. Not because we don't do this each year, and even next week, we're going to do something similar as we commission home church missionaries. It's a very significant moment in the life of the church, seeing the faithfulness of God to continue to pour into his people, calling them to himself, and then sending him into neighborhoods, cities, places of work, and other nations. The very first time my niece ever attended church was here 15 years ago. I was the youth pastor. We were sitting in the balcony. She had grown up in Pennsylvania and had never been to church. Her mother, my wife's sister, just a few years older than her, was in her mid-30s and died unexpectedly. Through that incredible journey, Lauren came to saving faith the morning after her mother's memorial service, which I had the privilege of preaching. But that memorial service wasn't in a church. It was in a funeral home. She had never been in a church. And she's up there, and we were doing this. We were installing men to the office of elder and deacon. And after most of the service was through, and the person wearing the black robe like me got up in the pulpit, she said, "Uncle Mark, how many sermons are there going to be?" I said, "This is the last one." And she nodded. She said, "How long will it be?" I said, "I have no idea." "This is going to be short this morning, about 10 minutes long. And that's also unusual. So come back next week. It'll be a little bit like this week, another short message, but it doesn't lack depth. Neither do these benedictions. These phrases that God has given us in his holy word that conclude worship services are loaded with such powerful truths. And they're meant to do something more than dismiss us. Some churches might dismiss, "see you next week, we're done here." But that's not the purpose of a benediction. The purpose of a benediction is to pronounce a blessing. It's actually different than a doxology, and it's different than a prayer. Sometimes in churches, including our own, doxologies or prayers have been used as benedictions. And they are different. Here's the difference. A doxology is from earth to heaven. It's God's people declaring something about God. And even in our benediction today, which is a benediction and a doxology wrapped together, you'll see the difference. Whenever it says, "to him be all," that is a doxology. It's earth to heaven. A prayer is the same thing, except it's a request that's being made. So when you see the phrase, "may the God of," something along those lines, it's a prayer. And prayers and doxologies certainly have their place. But a true benediction is not earth to heaven. It's heaven to earth. And it's not a prayer. It's a blessing that is laid in a promise that is already fulfilled. The Puritan John Owen said this. It's dense, but it's very powerful. He said, "the benediction is an announcement of the possession," so something we possess. The benediction is an announcement of the possession of a blessing promised forever to the church of Christ. And it is not a simple wish or desire. So often when you hear me say, "the Lord bless you and keep you," The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That is a declaration, a blessing from heaven to earth of the fulfillment of something that we can cling to as a possession that we already have in Christ that will go forever. So it's not just the end. Go and enjoy lunch. It is so strong that the Lord is saying, this which you are hearing is already true. My face is shining on you. My grace is sufficient for you. My countenance is present. It's pretty remarkable. And so this morning, we hear the apostolic benediction found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And it's very, very powerful. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you all. The first thing you notice is that it's Trinitarian. Jesus, the Father, is God there, and the Holy Spirit are all spoken of. Because it is a benediction, these things are heaven coming to earth. These things are promises already made. These things are possessions that we as Christians hold. And the reason we say in this church, lift your eyes towards heaven, whether you do that physically or metaphorically, is because you're receiving something. Some of you were trained to kneel or to close your eyes, maybe to put your hands out. Friends, the posture is not what's important here. What's important is that you understand whatever your posture is, you are in the posture of receiving something from the Lord. And like a child who longs to receive a gift that's beyond what they could even ask or imagine, they look up. And so we look up in anticipation of God giving us a blessing that is already a promised possession that we hold. That is remarkable. So three things this apostolic benediction speaks to. First, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. Grace is one of those words that if we're not careful, we become so used to and forget that it's amazing and that it's deep. I made an enemy very quickly when I was in seminary. It sounds strange to say. A place where women and men have gone to study the Word of God and to learn how to expound upon His Word and feed people His Word. And in the first semester, I was with a classmate I couldn't stand. I don't have that problem very often. I don't have a deep-seated sense of, I just don't like you. But I'm in seminary, and I'm looking at a guy, and in my heart, I'm saying, I don't like you. I don't even know why you're here. I mean, who can say the things you say and really be called by God to be a minister? Now, I'm careful right now because the man I'm talking about frequently listens to my sermons. He lives in another country. So to make it clear, Daniel, I am speaking about you. In a class called Ministry Assessment and Development, I heard Daniel say, and then about the third class, about the fifth week of school, okay, we get it. Enough about grace. Let's move on to stuff that's really deep. Exactly. That wasn't a hiccup. That was shock. And I remember hearing that. Now, this class was attended by our spouses as well, and I was irritated. I remember thinking, because of my understanding of grace, what I had received in reading books about grace, that it's never deeper than grace. In fact, if you don't think grace is deep, you're actually not very deep. And I was irritated, deeply irritated. And finally, about 4 months into the semester, when my wife got tired of me lamenting and judging and being critical, she said, you know, you don't get grace either. She was right. I didn't have grace to see him. The reason I can tell you what I told you about Daniel is because He's my closest friend from graduating seminary. And he wouldn't become my closest friend, I don't think, unless my wife would have said, start praying for him and start praying for yourself. You both are missing grace. Well, who do you think you are, honey? This doesn't feel like much grace to me. But she was right. My friends, grace is everything. The grace of Jesus Christ, if not given, and the grace of your eyes and ears to be open to see it. If that didn't happen, you couldn't understand the love of God, and you certainly couldn't have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So when Paul ends this letter to the church at Corinth, it's this profound statement. It's not just, I'm done and bless you. He's saying, this is a possession you have, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ can only be understood if we know what grace means. And grace means that we are receiving what we don't deserve. But it means something else as well, that we're not receiving what we do deserve. Jerry Bridges speaks about this with the true story in one of his books on grace. He grew up in East Texas, and he says, we live near the tracks, and occasionally a homeless person, who in those days was called a hobo, would come up to our house. Not deserving of anything, he would knock on the door, and my mom would move quickly to make him a meal and feed him, and he would take that meal and be on his way. He didn't deserve that, and that is grace, or a part of grace. He then tells a fictional aspect of the story. He said, this is what grace would really be like. Grace would be like that same man showing up at our house. And upon seeing that man, my mom recognized him as the one who had broken in and stolen her jewelry. And she still went forth in making the meal and gave him that food. He didn't deserve it. And what he actually did deserve was a phone call to the police. Don't get lost in all the nuances of what could be or couldn't be. Simply understand this picture. You and I never deserve grace. The moment we think we deserve grace, it's no longer grace. We didn't deserve grace, but if you're in Christ, you received it. More than that, you and I, all of us deserved wrath, the perfect wrath of God. But we didn't receive that. So that's why you hear this word so often in our services. That's why we sing about it, just as we did this morning in the power of the cross. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ must exist in order for us to see and hear the good news of God's love for us and the promise of this fellowship in the Holy Spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul teaches throughout his letters, and it's from the beginning of the Bible to the end. Ephesians 2 says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, being rich in mercy, made us alive together in Christ. If you are alive together in Christ, it's because he opened your eyes and your ears to see. More than that, he caused a heart that was not beating for him. It was dead to suddenly beat. And it has nothing to do with your works. Just a few verses later, Paul says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourself. It is the gift of God, again, received. It is a gift of God received, not by works, so that no man can boast. That's grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. There are many attributes which we put the word omni in front of: omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipresent, all-present. The word omni, when it comes to love and the love of God, should be put there as well. God's love for us is perfect. Paul describes it in the Greek with this language, so wide, so far, so deep, so high. Perfect measurements describing the perfect love. You could paraphrase it this way. If God could love you more, he would. But he can't, because his love for you cannot be improved upon. Last part of this benediction, the Lord bless you. He speaks of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that when we are in Christ, we are part of the fellowship that God himself has in his existence. What that means is that we have the presence of God, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We have the power of God because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we have the promises of God. And the promises of God, when you hear this blessing at the end of the service, are simply this. He is leading you. He is with you. He will never forsake you. That's what he's doing right now. But he's also holding something for you. It's a promise. It's a promise that you possess. And that is an inheritance that is beyond anything we can ask or imagine, that is being kept in heaven for you. That's why we sing so often of this grace, of this love, of this fellowship. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Lord God Almighty, in just a few words that belong to you, we can receive such encouragement and hope. God, we have an enemy that wants to rob that from us now, that wants us to not live in grace, to not think that grace is deep, to trust in our own self-righteousness. Father in heaven, would you raise up a hedge of protection against the whispers of the enemy, those towers of deception that he has built in deceiving us. And would you set us free, free in the power of this grace, the grace of Jesus Christ, free in the power of your love, Father, and free in the fellowship of what it means to be your beloved. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.